Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Whoever thought up coconut almond butter, I thank you. But I also want to strangle you because I can't fit into my pants.
My neighbor threw a baby boomer rave and it bumped all weekend. I considered going, but then logic and reason set in.
That could have been fun. Last week, I went to the dentist, the optometrist, and the dermatologist, and I didn't even get a medal.
Never underestimate the giddy thrill of a drive-through car wash.
Have such a good day. Welcome to Have Such a Good Day.
Hi, friends and patrons. Are you staying cool out there, I hope?
Man. Sing song kind of week. Oh, man. Yeah. A lot of people are not staying cool.
No, 111, parts 120.
Of the country. Yeah. It's Pacific Northwest is really getting battered.
I don't really get it. Like Portland 111 today. That's what it's supposed to be. I mean,
global warming, Heather.
Insane.
Yeah. Global warming.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. Good evening.
It just happens to be morning here, but we know that you listen on demand, so we're not even going to say the day or time because it could just be any time.
And we want to
keep
it a mystery.
You could live in the future, you know, depending on what continent you're on. It could be winter where you are because you could be in the upside down world of the southern hemisphere or right side up.
So yes, this heat wave would mean nothing to you.
Yeah. I don't know. It's it's a crazy world we live in.
It is. Yeah. And this is the show where we enjoy unpacking the absurdity of everyday life in this crazy world for your entertainment.
Indeed.
And you know, we're all in this together. That's the important thing.
Yeah, we certainly hope that you've gotten through whatever tumultuous week you may have had last week.
Oh boy.
You've battened down the hatches, ready for this week.
And mostly we just want to have fun, have an hour of fun with y'all.
Indeed.
So let's do it.
Let's do it. Heather, I like your spunk today. I like your pep.
I try to do some sort of aerobic-y stretching in the morning just to kind of because I've only had one coffee. I mean, I need a little bit more energy.
I've had more than one. Oh boy.
Oh, I'll have a second one.
I should consider doing my VR stuff, which is, I mean, there's some strength work, but it's mostly cardio.
Uh-huh.
It's very, very heart rate. You know, it's good stuff. I never do it first thing in the morning. I don't know why.
I'm not a big fan of working out in the morning. I just do a minute of just to kind of get my blood flowing. It kind of helps, goes to the brain, wakes me up a little bit more naturally than coffee.
With few exceptions, I'm not going to take more than one shower a day.
Mm-mm.
You know, I'm sorry. I want to be clean.
You should be sorry, Sarah.
Well, it's some people, you know, because it's I got to take a shower in the morning. I mean, it doesn't have to be the first thing I do when I wake up,
mm-hmm.
but it needs to be something I do before, you know, the day starts or
sure.
I'm just all weirded out and don't feel good. But if I work out in the morning, and of course I've got my big dog and he needs to, we don't always jog. Sometimes we do, mm-hmm. but if we're not jogging, we're still walking for an hour mm-hmm. in the morning. First thing, you know, he's got to do his business and, you know, he needs exercise too. And so it's actually a great thing. We always do that. And so that's kind of that is working out, especially because I walk up lots of hills. And so it's you know, you're huffing and puffing a bit. It's hiking really. And so that happens. And I can do like yoga or my VR stuff or whatever that's all in my studio, and that's all good. But that is, I always feel like it's like slightly, it's like my selfish workouts because my dog just like sits there and watches me like he's doing right now. And that's fine. I mean, it's fine. I can do that, but I have to do that after I have already, you know, like worn him out, because you just can't like keep an animal inside all day. And, you know, when we have Airbnb guests, he can't just run around the property. You know, that's not happening. So it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at is, so we do our thing in the morning, and if we jog, I have to, you know, I mean, I'll be sweating a little bit, especially in the warmer weather. And so then it's like, gotta come home, take a shower, and then, you know, kind of, I don't know, transition into whatever I'm doing work-wise. But then if I work out later and do my other stuff, then I have to take another shower.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'll do it. I mean, I'm not going to go to bed dirty. That's yuck.
Yeah.
But I'm like, two showers? Come on.
Sarah, can you like, just transition your shower to like the afternoon before you settle in for the evening?
Well, if I had jogged in the morning, then I'm sitting in a yucky body all day.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like, it's not going to work. It's just, they're just, every you so often I showers. Get it right. You do. I mean, you have to take two showers, or it's like you
go to bed dirty.
Well, or it's like, or you say like, we'll just do everything in the morning then, right? That sounds like the solution, Sarah. And it's like, that's like 2 hours of exercise.
No.
Honestly, like back to back, I'm like, I almost never have 2 hours to carve out for anything. And it's like, that's just a lot to ask for my sad little old lady body. You know, I kind of have to break it up for myself.
Yeah.
It's a constant struggle.
It is. Maybe a shower and then just hose yourself off at the end of the day. Maybe it's like not a whole shower
ordeal. I don't know. You know those folks, it's everybody's different, and it totally depends on like the kind of hair you have. You know, some people are like, I can't even wash my hair more than once a week, or it like turns into straw. And I'm like, well, I have to do it more than that, but not every day, or my hair turns into straw. So there's this whole thing about, you know, and then there's people who are like, soap is bad for you. You don't need soap. Your body gets used to not having soap. And I'm like, yeah, but like a shower without soap, it like doesn't, that's like psychologically really weird for me, even though it's like, I get what you're saying. I don't know.
I don't get the no soap thing. I'm sorry. And I try to use like the most natural stuff. I actually just got this really good coconut soap that's au naturel. There's only like 4 ingredients in it. I'm not going to do no soap. I draw the line.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But yeah, I feel like, and it definitely depends on the temperature, but like when I'm, you know, doing good and I'm in a rhythm and I definitely get that runner's high, whether it's running or anything that's, you know, heart cardio. Pumping stuff, it's like feels really good, you know, and sweating out feels really good and I'm into it. You know, I'm not shying away from that feeling, but afterwards it's like, I mean, I have an hour tops before, you know, the shower has to happen. Like even if you were to change your clothes, it's like, no, the skin is still, no.
Yeah, I'm not into that either.
Can't be done. I just feel, ugh, I can't even talk about it.
No. Yeah, I think also it depends on the person, because I know some people who just kind of like being dirty. They'll go camping and they like that feeling of kind of just having dirt on them and don't get kind of bothered by it. And I'm not that person. I maybe was that person when I was younger, but
I don't know if I mind the dirt so much. I mean, if I was like muddy, you know, that would be like, okay, I got to take a shower kind of thing. But yeah, I get what you're saying. That kind of outdoorsy stuff.
It's all so particular of who you are and what genes you have. It's just like gray area all over the place.
Indeed. Yes. There's no right answer here.
Yeah.
Before every show, I'm like, you know, there's certain weeks where I, like last week, if anyone listened to the show, like, I had not slept that well in a couple of days and I was in a funk. Mm-hmm. I actually did sleep well the last week, so that's good. It is night and day. That feeling that I have when I don't sleep well is just like, oh, God, you know, it's everything is a slog. I had a good week. It was, you know, kind of uneventful because that's sort of how my life goes these days. But I did have some fun in the kitchen. so, all right. So when the pandemic started, you know, I always, I keep saying like, you know, a year ago, and now it's like a year and a half ago, right? We're getting to the point where it's almost a year and a half ago, but it's like basically March 2020, you know, and everybody's like buying toilet paper and freaking out. And I was, you know, I was sort of like, I'm going to lean into this and I'm going to buy, you know, all of the stuff. I'm going to bake my own bread. You know, we all had the same idea. And during that time, I got like, I went way overboard with like alternative flour. Meaning like, you know, I had regular all-purpose flour, whole wheat flour, spelt flour, quinoa flour. What else? I had gluten-free baking flour, even though I'm not gluten-free, because like, why not? You know, buckwheat flour, all of these flours. And I was like, it'll just be fun because almost every recipe, I mean, you might get weird results, but it's like you can cut, you know, the all-purpose flour. If it's like 2 cups, you're like, oh, I could like do a cup of quinoa and kind of just see how it goes. And that's sort of fun for me. It's all chemistry. But another thing that I bought for no good reason, however long ago, again, start of pandemic, was carob powder. Now, for anybody who's not familiar with carob, it is often used as a chocolate substitute. It's sort of a sweet, I mean, I don't think it tastes at all like cocoa powder, which is obviously, you know, we're, you know, the basis of chocolate, but it is, it can be used in baking and as a dessert, you know, ingredient. And it has an interesting flavor of its own. It comes from a carob tree, blah, blah, blah. And it's actually quite sweet. You know, if you were to like have like a little, you know, teaspoon of cocoa powder, you'd be like, ooh, I guess there's like some chocolate essence, but it's not sweet at all unless you sweeten it. Carob actually is. So what it is for a lot of people is a baking alternative if you're trying to either keep the chocolate that goes into some sort of recipe down or replace it altogether. Now, I'm familiar with carob, even though I haven't had it in many years. And this is really funny because when I was a little kid, you know, this is late 70s kind of thing. My parents were what you would call, you know, California hippies. And we were a no sugar household, you know, and there wasn't meat and there was a whole thing. And I don't hate my parents for it anymore. And for a long time when I was really little, I didn't really know the difference. It was like, oh, you want like, you know, a treat. You could get like a carob bar from the natural food store type of thing. And I thought that that was like pretty good until I realized, oh, other kids are eating like Snickers bars. And that's what's really good. So like this whole carob thing is a bunch of bullshit. So, and so anyway, so that's, I knew carob and then I was like, oh yeah, carob is like poor man's chocolate, you know, stay away forever. But then of course in 2020, I've now bought all this carob powder and I bought like so much of it. Like a whole big mason jar, you know, that I filled with it. Where I'm like, how did I do this? I don't know. I just did. So I'm looking up recipes because again, I'm like, you know, I got to get through all this stuff. I bought it. I need to make things with it. So let's get fun and creative. You know, I'll make some carob brownies or whatever. And so I just, you know, I do what I always do where I just write like best carob recipe into Google and just like start seeing what pops up and start looking through recipes and see if like, I've got all the ingredients around where I could make something fun. And this article from the New Yorker magazine from 2018 popped up. It's like one of the first results. And the title is How Carob Traumatized a Generation.
Which and was way back
when. It's so
when.
Funny because it's literally me. I mean, the whole article is written about like, yeah, back in the, you know, health conscious 1970s, some, you know, well-meaning parents with little kids, you know, were told, right? Like kids shouldn't have chocolate. There's like caffeine in it or, you know, it's like bad for kids. You know, like they're going to be like crazy on sugar. Carob is the better alternative. And so that's kind of, that's where that all kind of comes from. Not that it didn't exist before, it's existed for, I mean, since the trees grew, but it was pushed pushed in that kind of like late 70s, early 80s alternative, let's be healthy type thing, which is so funny because it's like every few years there's some trend. And then later on we look back and go like, oh, that was like really bad for people, you know, or like really restrictive or didn't understand health at all. So, and the article is, I mean, I just had to laugh because I'm like, that's exactly what it was. It was like,
oh yeah,
this thing, because I always knew that we were, a really, you know, my parents were healthier, you know, like we're not gonna get sugary cereals in my house. And my mom did a lot of her own baking and made her own bread and yogurt and stuff like that. It's like, that was normal to me, but you get to a certain age and you're like, oh, yeah, some other parents don't care about this stuff as much as, you know, there's some militant stuff going on in my household. And then you get to the point where it's like, you have a couple quarters, you can buy yourself a candy bar, and you do.
Yeah.
You're like, it's like contraband, mm-hmm. you know? Carob was off the table for a while, and even I can remember, I don't know, every once in a while, someone would be like, what's carob? And I'd be like, oh, it's the worst. Stay away. You know, it's like, it's for like health conscious weirdos who won't eat chocolate kind of thing. Stick with chocolate. You like it better. So anyway, I've got all this carob powder and I'm like, yeah. How'd I do this? And I did make some brownies with it, but I have cracked the code. It's still going to take me like way longer than it needs to get through this stupid mason jar of carob. But I found that because it is sweet on its own, it's like naturally sweetened, a little, not too much, like let's call it a teaspoon in my overnight oats, like my steel cut oatmeal, is delightful.
Oh.
Because it gives it just like, it's like a sprinkling, it's not like granulated sugar. It's not the same kind of sweetness. And if you were to add too much, it would all taste like carob and that might turn you off. But just a little bit, and it kind of changes, it makes the color sort of brown because it's this nice sort of,
yeah,
kind of looks like nutmeg. It's that sort of rich brown color, and I like it. I really like it. And so I've figured out, I've cracked the code. There might be other recipes that I have yet to find that are like super great in carob. And if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I have one, please do email me because I love recipes. Hi at havesuchagoodday.com. But so the story... Again, going to take me a while to get through it, but the story ends well. I'm back on the carob train.
I love it. I love your little adventures in your kitchen, Sarah.
Thank you.
You know, you should have a cookbook. You have like your own little creations. But it's funny, the carob thing, I totally remember that too. And I wonder if you hoarding all this carob is creating a shortage that we don't know about out there. Let us know if you can't find carob where you are at your local market.
I just bought the one package.
Could be Sarah.
I'm pretty sure that there's a plentiful carob for everybody, but yes.
I'm sure there is. And, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I mean, we lived in similar towns, kind of. They were like, you know, cute little storybook California towns.
You always
towns,
say, and the storybook thing, I do not feel that way at all. Like,
well,
you
might have
had a storybook childhood, but I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't call it
you
that.
You had to eat carob. That's not very storybook.
Well, no, just kidding. You know, I feel like my growing up was a little bit more of a struggle than storybook. But yes, we lived in smallish suburb-ish towns, I guess.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's better description. You know, and I remember we would obviously go trick-or-treating and a lot of the neighbors would give out these really healthy candies. And I remember so distinctly they were these honey, sesame, little... I don't know, they were just like these rectangular candies that were made from honey and they were just filled with sesame seeds. And they're very good, actually. Like I would still eat them to this day if I could find them. But I remember my dad being pretty strict about the sugar thing. But then when we'd stay at my mom's, we would go to the liquor store and get like a Charleston Chew and Fun Dip and Now and Laters and eat them all before dinner and then have a huge bowl of ice cream after dinner. I mean, the amount of sugar that we consumed it's really staggering, actually, when I look back, because we would go to the liquor store every day after school and I would get at least 4 candy bars or candy something and eat all of it before my mom would come home. It's like, wow, no wonder I had cavities as a kid. But
yeah,
we're living the dream, yeah. Sarah, seriously. Speaking of, I went on an outing yesterday. You know, I've been nose to the grindstone. I've been working hard. There's a lot to do around the homestead. And, you know, we talk offline about, you know, trying to plan a vacation and just like getting out for a little bit and getting away from all the work and the problems and whatnot. But we did a quick little kind of day trip yesterday to a cute little adjacent town. Some of our listeners know this town. It's called Ferndale. And it's super cute. It's totally like a sort of a cinematic. It looks like a set. It really does. It looks like a set. It's like old buildings that are like really ornate and they're all neat colors. And it's just the cutest little country town. And they had like flyers around the town for, you know, for like July 4th celebration, and it was the funniest flyer. It was like beef and bean barbecue, pit opens at noon sharp, you know, and it's like this old timey kind of picture of people eating, you know, at this barbecue, and it's just that kind of town. And so we'll go there just to, I don't know, like honestly, have some sangria, buy some socks, and essentially just live in the dream. So it was really fun.
It's, you know, you visit the neighboring town. That's pretty normal.
Yeah, and there's a really cool cemetery. Oh, and in fact, a lot of movies were shot there. Outbreak, Salem's Lot, that like TV movie that Stephen King was shot. There's been a lot of movies shot there. Anyway, other than that, last week was kind of a bear. It was a tough week for me, mostly because I'm such a problem solver and I'm sort of at the helm of the business and the family because my dad's gone and, you know, I have to kind of make a lot of decisions all the time for not just the business or myself, but for other people. And it really can be very taxing. You know, I guess it sort of reminds me of like when I would run a studio, like a production studio, if you were the head of a studio and you had 10 employees or whatever, it's similar because you're, you know, it's like all kind of falls on you to like decide things, come up with the plan, come up with the plan for tomorrow and for the future. And it's like kind of similar feeling, but I felt deflated at the end of the week. I just felt like I was like problem solving to the max. It's just like, you know how it is, Sarah, especially with the Airbnbs and being in the country, there's often you'll have a week that there's lots of problems and things break and I have ongoing lists of priority items, like where something is broken, like say a pipe, that's super important. So that goes to the top of the list. And then you have less priorities, you know, like maybe a window's broken in your greenhouse. It's like you can board it up for a little while, that kind of thing. But man, I mean, it was just like, I felt like I was like Uma Thurman in Kill Bill, just like, you know, with my sword and all those ninjas coming at me. I was just like, boom, 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 like constant coming at me. And I had to like cancel Airbnb reservations to accommodate some family that was upset that we didn't have a place for them to stay. I was like bed shopping for someone else. And then like, you know, they didn't like the bed. And then it's like, what do we do with the bed? And then where do we put the bed? How do we make everybody happy? There was like, we have this fancy oven. It's like a Viking, one of those commercial ovens. And there's like some mysterious gas leak that nobody can find that's stumping everyone, including like the Viking stove guy. We have broken spigots and, you know, there's just like, it just was one of those weeks. And I had a lot of very sort of like high maintenance Airbnb guests that had like really random questions, and someone's window got broken into when they were at a beach up north. And, you know, these like 9 o'clock at night and they're like, you know, wanting some tape and something to cover the window. And it's just like, I'm not kidding. Sarah, you would have like, your head would have exploded. It was crazy. And I'm not asking for a medal here, but I sometimes feel like I don't really get a thank you or a hug or like, I don't know. It's like, I'm not really expecting like kudos or anything, but it just felt kind of thankless. Like, I just felt like I was like, I don't know. It was a lot. And I really hope that this week does not have a similar vibe to it. But then I thought, you know what? Everyone's always telling me that I should meditate. You know, it's like, I've tried. It's hard. I meditate in other ways, I guess, if I'm like sitting and watching the birds or, you know, exercising or whatever, but I'm not that great at just sitting there and closing my eyes. But I really needed to just like be alone and take a break from everybody. So I closed the door to my office and I had this one project. I have a lot of projects that are just like piled in the back of every room, you know, and I'll get to them in my list or whatever of priorities. And I mentioned on the show a few episodes back that I bought a really nice paper shredder. And, you know, I've never owned a paper shredder. I never had the need really, but because of my dad's business and all the banking papers and all the kind of confidential stuff, I need to be a little bit more cautious. So I had this huge stack of paper that I needed to shred. And I was like, you know, this is a good time to do it. Boy, did it give me exactly what I needed. It was kind of like, you know, I think paper shredding is kind of like an ASMR thing. And it's not necessarily like the sound for me. It's just this, you do get this sense of well-being when you do it because it's kind of this monotonous thing.
I think that's ASMR. I think that's
it. Is ASMR. It is ASMR. But for me personally, I wouldn't say that it's the sound so much for me, because that's partially what ASMR is like that sound, but it's like that satisfying feeling of getting rid of something for good. And it's like gone, you know, it's like a physical thing and it's like bam, it's out of your life. And I went through a huge stack of paper, you know, and jammed it, like put too many papers in there and had to like reverse it and do this whole thing. But I did it for a couple hours and I felt pretty good after. So I just wanted to throw that out there to people who kind of can't sit and be chill and that do like legit meditation. There are a lot of other things out there, a lot of other really unexpected activities that can relax you a little bit.
Oh yeah.
So hopefully that's a helpful life hack tip.
There you go. I mean, I'm a as little paper as possible household. So paper shredder, it's like if I need one, I've already failed. But I get what you mean. I do get what you mean. And I think that, yes, meditation can happen at lots of different places. I'm like you. I would have a really hard time being like, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't even have to get crazy. Let's say 15 minutes, right? Uh-huh. 15 minutes of like, yeah, like focusing on nothing but my breathing or whatever it is. You know, meditation can take lots of forms, but it's more of just, yeah, like you're going super inward and the whole world doesn't exist. It's like, that's really hard for me. I think that, yeah, the closest I get is when doesn't happen that often. I'm almost always listening to a podcast, sometimes music, but sometimes I run silently and, you know, when I say sometimes, I actually do it once a week because I always take my dog to the beach when I've got a little time in the morning, once a week. And when I'm at the beach, I cannot have any sound besides the ocean in my ears. You know, it's just like, why would I? You know, it's so beautiful just being there, you know, and I like the natural sound. So, and I'm running, you know, and I'm huffing and puffing because you're running in sand and stuff. And it's like, that's meditation to me for sure.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even thinking about moving my legs. I'm just like taking it all in, you know, and it's kind of salty and my hair's all over the place. And it's just like, it's so nice. And I know it's going to end and I got to go home and I got to shower and then I'll be sandy and then work and I'm hungry and, you know, the whole thing. Uh-huh. Yeah, something will break. Yeah. Airbnb people need a butter knife. I don't know.
Oh, like, yeah. There's always something. I mean, it's endless. It's endless. I mean, I feel like sometimes I could write like a poem about the week, like an interesting sort of weird ass poem about like all the random stuff that happens.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you've, first of all, I know the feeling of having a thankless job. I mean, all jobs are thankless to a certain extent. And you know that feeling? I'm actually going through this right now because there are, you know, this property that I manage, you know, part of it is my own dwelling. And so it's like, you know, there are things that I deal with until I can't deal with them. And then I get the landlord involved. And then there's the property, which is, you know, my dwelling is only one small part of this. And that is what I actually do manage. And getting the landlord involved is like emergency time, you know, it's kind of my job to figure out stuff. And when everything's working, you know, turnkey kind of stuff, it's a decent amount of work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I will not go into this because I just don't want to be a broken record about like, meh, meh, meh. But one thing breaks where just somehow is like off and you're like, ooh, okay, now this like complicated puzzle like now doesn't fit. And it was already kind of complicated. So like, how do I fix it? So,
yeah.
Actually did happen this week. And I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, there are times where I sometimes will fix little things and I'm like, I feel satisfied because I'm like, okay, I fixed this issue. But like, no one knows that I fixed it because I'm not, I don't want to be one of those people who's like checking in every 5 seconds. Like I did this, I did this, I did this. Mm-hmm. But because, and I think that we've all either, you know, if you think about just like the traditional workforce, it's like sometimes you're the person working under someone where it's like, if they don't know what you're doing and all the details, then they might, you know, somehow be convinced that you don't do all the things that you do. Yep. But if you tell them every little, you know, piece of, you know, minutia, then it's like, you're kind of like, and look what I did. And look what I did. You know, it's like you want to sort of be self-sufficient, but you also want people to know how hard you're working and like the little things you're doing behind the scenes. And I do feel that way here sometimes because I'm like, I don't want to like raise the alert for every little thing that I've figured out. But that also took me a few hours.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And some of that stuff is ongoing. In fact, I was I also do sound like a broken record when I talk about my plants, but I'm so sorry because I love my plants so much. I mean, you know, you gotta take love where you get it. They are my little kids. You know, I got my dog, I got my cat, and then I've got my plants, and I really care about my plants. I'm trying to nurse a parlor palm back to health after frying it, which was really stupid. It was totally my fault. I just didn't think about, I don't know, the way that the sun changes in the sky when you get close to the solstice. But anyway, so my palm is, it's going to be okay, but it's like not going to be okay really probably till next year. But we're going to get there. But so my indoor plants are kind of one thing. And I've got this, do you know what a Dracaena plant is, Heather? You probably
yeah,
do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are lots of different kinds, but one of the most common, especially as an indoor plant, is I always call them Dr. Seuss plants. You know, they kind of have these like thin, kind of spindly trunks and then like a big tuft at the top.
And I love them.
Yeah, and they're great. And I have one, it's my favorite plant, it's totally my child, that I've had for going on 10 years now, and I've never even repotted it. I mean, it's in a big pot, but it's like, it has been through, I mean, 5-6 different apartments. I don't even know. Like, it once like seemed so dead after being like super hot in the back of a moving truck for like more than a day, and I was like, oh my god! And I brought it back. Like, it is my little warrior. And the plants, when they start, because they'll grow really tall, and they like want a lot of light, but like not too much direct sun, because you gotta take care of them. But in general, if they're happy, you know, and they're well fed and everything, they just want to go vertical. But, and I happen to have high ceilings where I live, but like, if it was like a regular, like, I mean, what's like, you know, like general non-high ceilings, like what, 9 feet, something like that. It, you know, just your average kind of like, oh, okay, it's a ceiling. It would be hitting the top of the ceiling if I lived, you know, somewhere with lower ceilings. And I'm kind of looking at it like, yeah, I mean, I like the height, but I wonder if it doesn't need to be pruned a little bit, you know, because it's going so high, but it's not really going out. And it was starting to, you know, like the branches or the trunk, the stems, whatever, are starting to get really thin at the top. And it's kind of looking a little like, you know, where you're like, ooh, gangly. I've got a gangly plant. So I haven't wanted to prune it because I don't want to mess it up because I love this plant so much. So, you know, I looked at like so many YouTube tutorials because there's a YouTube tutorial for everything. And it, you know, everyone says like Dracaena is not hard to prune and you can propagate, meaning that, you know, what you prune can then be repotted and you can give it as a gift or just have two plants and it's going to be good. Like, this is like one of the easiest plants to do this with. And so I did that over the weekend, and like, I literally was like holding my, you know, my clippers. I have these like strong clippers that I got at the hardware store, you know, I've already looked at like, okay, I'm going to do this branch, and this branch, and I'm going to leave the other ones because I don't want to go too crazy. I don't want to over prune, you know, and I'm still like holding it and going like, okay, 3, 2, no, I'm not ready yet. 3, two, you know, because once I do it, it's done. You know,
you're like giving it a haircut.
I'm giving it a haircut, but I'm so worried that like, oh, was that just like not the branch to cut, you know, like totally overthinking it. Anyway, it's all done. I dipped the cut off pruned branches. Oh, it already looks so much better, by the way. I did not need those like weird vertical tufts at the top, but I've got them. I put them in a little like growth hormone, and now they're in a glass of water, like in my windowsill. It's so like, cool. Yeah, you're like, is this really going to work? And it's like, everyone says, yeah, after 60 days, you'll start to see roots. Then you can plant them. And then you have like two plants. I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing.
That's like the next level. Cause I have, my gardener does that. She is always bringing over, you know, like a succulent starts. I mean, that's like her thing. It's like, she takes, you know, pieces of other plants and just like propagates them. And I mean, it's like, you're getting to the next level, Sarah.
Yeah. It's really cool. And I, you know, not going to work with every plant I've got, but there are a couple other plants where I'm like, huh, you know, that might benefit from this as well. And I've got a Mandevilla plant that I have to overwinter, and I've never overwintered anything. So it's like, oh my gosh, I can just go so crazy into it. But going back to the thankless part of all of this, because again, like these projects, like the project I just described is like, that was just, I don't know, like literally no one will enjoy this except me. But that's cool, you know, because I'm just, you know, trying to find little projects in every corner. And yeah. but the property itself is a cacophony of just like, I mean, it's plant mayhem. And yeah. in a really good way, but in a, oh my gosh, this has to be, you know, constantly monitored way. And your property is very much the same. It just will never end. You never get to the end where you're like, okay, now everything's great and it just stays great. And we have this irrigation system where there's like a variety of stations and there's timers and the whole thing. And, you know, it's all, you know, more or less working. But we've had this heat wave recently. And I'm noticing, especially like there's these, I mean, we have like so many hydrangea plants and some of them are in those big sort of like wine barrel pots, mm-hmm. huge. And so the plants are huge and you don't need to do anything with the soil, but they have to be watered. And they don't just have to, the soil doesn't just have to be watered, but they have to be showered, you know, mm-hmm. Not in direct sun or else like the water will like fry them. But, you mm-hmm. know, early morning, late at night kind of thing, you know, everybody who waters plants knows what I mean. And that is like irrigation when it's working is like, it's not going to cut it when it's 100 degrees. Like your mm-mm. plant is going to fry and will and die. And mm-hmm. It's like, who is going to like go the extra mile on those days? I am. Yeah. There's no one like, am I going to ask guests like to like water the property for like 2 hours? I mean, there's like many different stations to like deal mm-hmm. with. And no, I mean, I'm not going to ask guests to do that. Although who knows? I mean, maybe somebody would want to, but I'm going to assume no, right? They just mm-hmm. assume that that's all happening, but it falls on me. And I was doing that the other day. We were sort of like, you know, a group had left and then house cleaner was doing her thing inside and I was watering everything outside, you know, getting ready for the next guest where I'm like, I'm just going to like douse all these plants because it's going to be like upwards of a week before I really have time to like walk through the property and like, you know, stand outside a window, like do all these things that you don't want to do when people are in there. And, yeah. I'm looking at the weather and it's going to be real hot today and it's going to be really hot tomorrow. And I'm like, I got to do it again. And I'm just going to have to tell these people, hey, while you're here, you're going to want the plants to look as good as possible also. And in order to do that, I'm going to have to do some watering and I'm going to be like,
I think they'll understand.
I do too. I'm not too worried about it, but I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't even remember doing this last year. I think I didn't. And the plants just sort of suffered because of it. And I just have to do it. And it's, no one's going to say thank you. They're only going to say like, oh, it looks like shit if I don't do it.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm the landlord. I'm the whatever. I do everything and I have to like direct everything. And it's like, I end up watering everything. I have a gardener that contributes, but she's on other jobs on other properties too. So it's not really her responsibility. It's mine. And so, I mean, we have like many different big gardens. Like we have this berry garden that is like the one that needs the most attention because I hate watering out there. It's like pretty, there's a lot of weeds. I always get like this rash from the strawberry like leaves and I just don't really like going out there. Anyway, I'm seriously considering like cutting back on the garden because of the drought. And, you know, we don't have irrigation because we're on well water. And so there's just something I'm still learning about the whole water situation up here. But yeah, I have to learn about that. Like I have to understand how the water works. I mean, I'm a city girl. Like this is totally new territory for me. It's also kind of interesting, but it's like there's this whole filtering system. We have like a pump house, all the things. And I mean, we have so many different spigots and hoses. I mean, we must have 10 to 12 different hoses like around the property.
Oh yeah.
And I can't keep up. Like, honestly, it stresses me out. Cause I'm like, oh, I just spent an hour watering, but I still haven't watered there and there. You know, and then I think of that one like hydrangea or heather plant that like we just planted. And, you know, plants always need a lot of water when they're first planted because they have to establish themselves. And then I'm like, oh no, that one's going to die because I haven't watered it in weeks. And then I can't do it. I'm done. I'm fried. Like, yeah. It's not a big deal to water. It isn't, but it's time consuming. And I honestly think it's partially why I have tennis elbow because I have to like unkink the hose with my left arm. And I'm constantly like, I'm just, it's like the way I'm using my arms, it like strains them.
Yeah.
Especially the amount of watering I'm doing.
You know? And there's some repetitive motion. I'm totally with you. I actually repotted a bougainvillea over the weekend, you know, and I, you know, gave it some fertilizer, and I'm just like, every time I walk by, I'm like, how's it doing? And it's like not going to be a completely different plant for like a little bit. You know, like, it's just like, it doesn't just become its former self overnight. It takes a while. You've got to be patient. But I'm still just like, come on, come on. You know, I did my job. You do your job now.
Come on, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. And it's, and the thing is, I think I said this on the show before, but I used to, like, the first year I was here, you would see, I mean, you'd see the, all the blooming and you'd be like, oh, it's paradise. It's a Disney movie. It's amazing. But it doesn't stay like that all the time, because then winter comes and things die, and things will stay dead unless you, you know, deadhead them. Like, flowers will, like some of our hydrangeas, the flowers are still dead from last year and they're just sitting there, and it's like ugly kind of. And my dad used to always say, oh no, it's not ugly. You have to really respect every stage. You enjoy even the flowers that die. And I was like, okay, I'll try. I'll work on
that. I mean, and he's right. It's true. Like, you have to embrace the seasons and know, you know, like, be like, oh, look, like this tree is just like shedding everything, but it's going to be so beautiful in April when it starts to bloom again. Mm-hmm. But there's so much, especially like the thing I hate most is the cutting everything way back so that it grows back happy in the spring.
Yeah, because like deadheading, yeah.
And last year, I remember when it, you know, it had finished blooming, and it just sort of looked like it just really needed a little love. The landscapers cut it almost down to the stump. And I remember when they did it, I was like, oh my God. And the guy was like, don't worry, it's going to come back and it's going to be way better for it because it'll fill out a little bit. And he was right. It's like now even taller than it was this time last year, and it's blooming and all the good things. But it's just so sad for a while, because you're like, I believe you, but it just looks, we look like we just hacked something to death.
I know,
but
it
did, you
know, really, I know, me too. I like using the shears though. That's one of my favorite activities, but I really do see it. Like, I just kind of pruned our roses, you know, all the dead roses, and I mean, you see them come back within days. It's incredible. It really does stimulate growth. I definitely highly recommend that. It's a very meditative activity too. I actually prefer it to pulling weeds, but anywho,
whenever I think of things that are meditative, it's like activities where I don't need to interact with anybody. I mean, you could, right? Like, I could jog alongside you and we could be, you know, I don't know, having a little discussion or whatever. It's like, that's different to me. And that would be fun, but I'm like, no, when I do my like solo thing at the beach, like, I don't actually want anyone with me. You know, it's the meditative thing. To do the weed pulling and the flower stuff is a little bit the same. I will say, before we move on to another subject, because non-gardening people are probably like, oh my God, you guys shut up.
We're turning into a garden show.
We are. Not even really meaning to. I get so excited when things go well, and I get so mad when things don't go well. But it's all just, you know, circle of life. But I will say, so I got this. I've got all sorts of like plant feeders, right? I've got like succulent. When I mean feeder, it's like, you know, it's you dilute a solution in a lot more water, and you feed your plants, especially during the growing season. It's just, you know, supposed to help them get more nutrition, especially if you use tap water, which I do. I'm just like, I don't have the time to like filter water for plants, and I have no idea like what levels my tap water has, you know, and some plants get really testy about that kind of thing. And so they say like, oh, use rainwater. And I'm like, bitch, I live in California. There's no rain. What am I supposed to collect rainwater over the winter and then like use it on my plants in July? Like, no, not happening. So anyway, I've got all this like various kinds of plant feeders. And one of them is like, it's just like this tub of fertilizer. It's just liquid fertilizer. And I had, you know, I got it at the store, and it was like all purpose, you know, makes flowers like twice as big, you know, like when you really want to get granular, it's like, you look at like phosphate levels depending on the plant. And I was like, no, I just need the all purpose fertilizer, because there's only so much I can do. And so I open it and I was like, whoa, it was a stink bomb. Like, it's total like, like liquid manure.
Yeah, it is literally.
I mean, that's, you know, not far off. It's like mildly stinky, but like, it's fine. I mean, it's what plants want. Well, guess who likes it? Otis the dog.
Otis. Oh yeah, for sure.
So at first, like, I opened it and it was funny because he always like stays close when I'm doing, you know, outdoor gardening stuff, but he's not particularly interested in the hose or, you know, mm-hmm. soil or plants themselves. He's just like, well, whatever. You're just like doing something. As soon as I opened that thing, and he was just like, oh my God, cookies. And so I caught I caught him like licking the container, and I'm like, stop that. No, I mean, I don't know if this is good for you or not. I mean, it's probably kind of like poop, but like, no, you know, like what if it made him sick, or, you know, I don't know if it's toxic to dogs. And so, you know, and he was just sort of like super perked up, like, why are we going to put it now? So yeah, so now I have somehow managed to adopt the dog who wants to drink liquid poo fertilizer.
Well, you know, my gardener's dog, Margie, whenever we, you know, lay down some new soil and fertilizer and whatnot, oh, she buries her face in it and she eats it. We'll have like chicken shit is like, we'll have a bag of that because it's like very good fertilizer for certain things. And she'll literally put her head in the bag and like eat the chicken shit out of there. She loves it. Well, I don't know. It's a thing.
It's a dog
you should
thing.
Google it because yeah. it is a thing.
All right.
All right, I'm going to switch gears here.
Please, I'm begging you.
Please, God.
Yeah, yes. I don't know how to stop, Heather. Help.
I'm going to slowly pull you out of your plant rabbit hole. But I'm going to talk a little bit about superstitiousness. And I know that, and that is a word, but we've talked about it here and there on the show. And I find myself to be quite superstitious about certain things. You know, it started when I was younger. I wouldn't let myself step on sidewalk cracks because it would break your mother's back. You know, knock on wood, you know, so that you don't jinx yourself, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But I never really did the salt over the shoulder. Like, I never thought pennies were lucky. But I've often said things out loud throughout my life and then been really like self-conscious about it. Like, oh, whoa, I shouldn't have said that. You know, like, am I jinxing myself? You know, it's probably a coincidence. That's, I'm not that superstitious where I'm like, oh my gosh, I really jinxed myself. I do believe that coincidences happen a lot, but there have been a lot of times in my life where I have literally stated something to somebody or maybe to myself, and I swear it happens right after. And I'm like, ah, darn it, I shouldn't have said that. And that happened actually last week, which I can't help but blame myself for creating the shit show week that I had, because I jinxed myself. I'm convinced of it. I said out loud to my sister that I was impressed at how more or less copacetic the family dynamics have been since my dad's death. Like, my sister and I, honestly, it's been really great. Like, we're really on the same page. We're co-executors and everything's equal, and we're not really fighting about anything, and we're not like splitting hairs with money. Like, we want each other to be happy, and it's been really a blessing, honestly, because I've heard some horror stories. Then everything went to shit. I am not kidding. I don't know. I don't know what happened. It was just like everything just fell apart. Not seeing eye to eye on some stuff in terms of, you know, estate planning and whatnot. But the big thing that happened that was such a huge bummer, and I'm not going to get into major specifics. I don't want to call anybody out on the show. But I used a particular word in an email in regards to this memorial, and it really set things off. I'll explain what word I used. So I'm kind of talking about like certain generations. I mean, I could think of some very obvious examples of like really non-PC words that like my parents used back in like the 80s that no one would, you know, say nowadays and stuff like that. But that's actually like the really obvious stuff. This was a word that I felt would not spark anything. I used, you know, it really is important to think about who your audience is. And I used the word partner in an email referring to somebody instead of wife or spouse. Mm-hmm. And to me, I use words like partner or something maybe a little less specific because I grew up in a household that was quite unconventional. I was never really under the, you know, roof of my parents when they were married for very long. I was a baby when they got divorced. So to me, like wife and husband and spouse and all that just didn't really have a huge effect on me. My mom was with her partner for 15, 20 years before they got married. He lived with her. He was my stepdad. He was so integrated in my life, but it was never husband and wife. They were like domestic partners, mm-hmm. DP, you know, and they were like partner in life and love. Like, to me, partner is the ultimate. It's like partner in crime, like my bestie, you know, my everything. And so in my mind, partner is a wonderful word and doesn't have any negative connotations. But to somebody maybe from another generation, took total offense that like that is not a strong enough word to describe what I was to this person. And so it turned into this huge thing, and it was a huge bummer. And I don't know if we quelled the situation. You know, I had to kind of, you know, some fallout. I had to kind of like write another email and just like explain myself, and that, you know, I wasn't being malicious by using the word partner. But, you know, then I realized down the road, usually these kinds of things.
I think this is a person who wants to be mad about something. I mean, come on. I mean,
oh yeah.
I don't care what generation 100%. You're in. It's like, you've heard partner. Sure, if you're someone's husband or wife, I think that would be like where you just be like, you know what, I just prefer that word, but not like mad about it. Partner is like a all-encompassing word that everyone uses. It's not something to be like ashamed of. That's silly.
You're exactly right. And it was totally over the top and a total emotional response. And it was a toothpaste cap thing. I don't know if you ever used that, but my dad used to always say, you know, it's like when someone's mad about something, and you're like, why are they so upset? It's such a small thing. And then you realize, oh, they're actually more worried about this bigger thing, but they're just kind of, you know, doing this dance around it because they don't want to admit it. But it's really a bigger issue that they're upset about. And that has a lot to do with some people don't want to have a memorial for my dad, and then other people do. And it's like, who gets to make that decision? You know, we all have our needs in terms of getting closure on this thing, you know, and you have to think of other people. It can't just be a self-centered thing. You have to kind of, all right, how is this person feeling about it? It's hard. It is a really hard thing to navigate. And I wanted to ask you guys out there, are you superstitious, or am I just being weird? Do you ever feel like you've jinxed yourself, or do you think it's just like plain old coincidence? Please email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com. I want to hear from you.
Spoiler, it's coincidence.
I know.
You're not making your week worse, Heather. It's just not happening. You can't blame yourself for things like that. But I understand, it's like a need to try to understand, like, why did this all fall apart? Like, it was me. I did it.
I mean,
you know,
so soon after you say it, where it's like the shit hits the fan, and you're like, that's eerie.
Now, I could be wrong. I could be wrong because I don't know what's going on in our afterlife ghost world, but I'm pretty sure that saying something out loud does not make it so, or else I'd be a very wealthy woman. So, you know, I say knock on wood all the time. I don't actually believe that that does anything, but it's like it's a thing. You know, people know what you mean.
It is a thing.
It's like it's a cute little thing, but no, I do not think you should beat yourself up over willing something into existence because you said it. That's just that you don't have to take on that burden.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And what about using the word partner? What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, the word partner, I think this is just me spitballing, but I think that partner for some people, and I'm going to say it skews older, but you know, I don't want to generalize too much, would maybe indicate same sex.
Yeah, that's what I was
partnerships,
thinking too.
And maybe if someone is not in a same-sex partnership, they're like, well, no, that's not my word. That kind of sounds like something that now I have to explain that I'm not in that camp. Not that there's anything wrong with that, right? But like, but I don't think that it's that way anymore, and it has changed over time. So maybe there's something going on there. And I'm not even like, I'm not even touching homophobia here because that's obviously another conversation, but just being like, no, that's not my title. That doesn't apply to me. I'm this thing instead because this is the thing that sounds stronger to me. But I also think that people
straight,
need to kind of,
you know,
like, listen, you're still on this world. You're still walking over the fertilizer. You gotta kind of, you know, grow with the times.
You gotta put yourself in other people's shoes. And semantics is an interesting thing to unpack, though, especially in this day and age. Yeah, like you choosing the right words so you don't piss people off or upset people, or it can be a very tricky thing.
Yeah, I do it every day. I mean, I like to
it's like your job.
Like my job. I mean, there are It's very relative. You know, on this show, you and I think are, I mean, I would probably drop a few more F-bombs if it was just you and me, just because I'm like, you know, I can pull back, you know, like, why not? But I feel like we're pretty free flowing, and there are other places that I'm like, I don't know if I'm talking to the bank teller or if I'm doing Daily Tech News show. There are certain words that just, there enough people would be like, that's not really cool. And so I just filter them out, and it's not that hard, but it's not effortless either. You have to think about, you know, it's all very situational. So yeah, the person who got mad at you, I think, overreacted and wanted to get mad and use the, what is it, the toothpaste cap as a dumb reason to just be snippy, because I don't know, maybe they had a bad day too. But yes, I get having to, what's the word when you act a certain way, depending on the situation? You hear it a lot now.
Passive aggressive?
No. It's, I don't know. But I have to think about it and come back to it.
Okay.
But it's not like culture check. It's something like that. I can't think of it right now, but it's a term for when, culture switch, something switch.
Culture switch.
But no, culture is not right. It's something switch. It's often used by, it's often used to describe, you know, somebody who's like a minority, or, you know, in a position where they take on the attributes of the,
greater,
you know, situation, so that they kind of like blend.
Yes.
And not just minorities, but, you know, anyway, well, a minority situation, not necessarily race, but that sort of thing where it's, God, I don't know why I can't think of it. I don't know. I'm having a brain fart. I had too much tofu for breakfast, but.
You had tofu for breakfast?
Yeah, I had some leftover, kind of back on a tofu thing.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, with the right seasoning, it's just delicious.
Oh yeah. Good marinade. Mm-hmm. I like marinating my tofu. Well, on that note, Sarah.
Yeah. We've thrown a lot of stuff at you in the show. I mean, we're nothing if not consistent. Right. But we do want to hear from you. We really do. We love getting your emails. We'll read one in a second. hi@havesuchagoodday.com. But also just want to remind everyone that we're an independent little broadcast over here. It's just Heather and I, and we survive.
Two-woman crew.
We survive off of your direct support. If you would like to directly support us, well, first of all, everybody who is on Patreon, thank you so much. You mean the world to us. If you'd like to consider directly supporting the show, it gives you an ad-free feed. And, you know, we try to give people some fun perks, you know, or talk to us in our Discord and all of your fun friends who are in there week after week. We love y'all. But to learn more is the URL, because I am not a robot. patreon.com/havesuchagoodday. Thank you in advance.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much in advance. Yeah. So we love your emails, and we often try to share them on the show. We can't get to all of them because we get so many. We did get an email from Ron. He was referring to the firsts in life that I was talking about after you lose a loved one kind of thing. So he said, I know the year of firsts can be challenging after the loss of a loved one. I love that you had your dad's obit published on Father's Day. You mentioned how much you love the ritual of picking out a card for your dad, and I wanted to suggest that you should keep doing that on Father's Day. Pick one out, write to him, and save it. I didn't think of this. My therapist suggested I do something similar for my late husband's 50th birthday several years after his death. I did, and it felt really good. This is a great suggestion. I love this, and I am going to do it because I think that it will help me in a lot of ways. And I'm my condolences to your loss. It's, you know, it's hard to really relate until you go through it yourself. But any kind of little ritual like that can do wonders. So I really appreciate you writing in about that.
That's so nice, Ron. I love that.
So nice.
I tried to, when I read Ron's email, and it's so perfect for you, Heather, because you like to do things like that. You're very much like physical gift, you know, put some glitter or, you know, like put like cute totally. Things into something
stickers
that like you made for somebody. Like you've always been that way. You're good at that stuff. And I think it would be, you know, it's like it's therapeutic for both parties because you
very therapeutic.
You feel good. You know, it's this thing. It's kind of like how, I don't know, when you're trying to get through something or, yeah, like there's some closure that needs to happen. You know, people will say, write it down. You don't have to send it. The person doesn't even have to read it, but it's like you get it out of you, at least in some form.
And then put it in the paper shredder. And then it's it's all good.
There you go. God, I should really buy a paper shredder.
The full cycle. Yeah. You really should.
Just to get some things off my mind. But Well, that's awesome. Thanks, Ron. And again, hi at havesuchagooddaycom. Please do send those emails. We can't tell you how much we enjoy hearing from all of you because—
You brighten our days.
We are not two women in a vacuum. Although
it
feels that way.
Like that sometimes.
It does. Yeah. We're like, God, are we the only two people in the world that have had such a bad day today?
Hence the birth of our podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody actually, it was cute, in another Discord that I'm in, somebody had mentioned something about the show, Heather, and they called it Have Such a Wonderful Day. Which I was like, oh, it's Have Such a Good Day, just because, you know, it's the acronym. I mean, you know, it's not Have Such a Wonderful Day, but I like that too.
I do too.
It's so cute.
I mean, maybe when our lives get like we're living our best lives and we can like do like a 2.0.
We can
version.
Bump up the superlative. Just be like,
exactly.
Have such a like, oh, what's it like? Yeah, I don't know. Like
fabulous.
Yeah. Have such a bomb day.
Bomb ass diggity day.
That's right.
You know, actually speaking of, we can't stop talking about how much we love our listeners, but on iTunes, we are now we have like 5 stars from so many reviews, and we so appreciate that. So if you guys haven't written a review yet and you do enjoy the show, please do. It does help broaden our audience and get the word out to people who don't know we exist. And we want everybody to have such a good day, a wonderful day, a bomb ass diggity day, whatever day you are looking for.
And listen, if you haven't had such a good day, you're in the right company. We know it's just, sometimes it's a slog. Sometimes you have just the best day. I mean, I jumped out of bed today and I was like, this is going to be a great Monday, because I often just feel like a little buried on Mondays.
Yeah.
And you know, well, okay, so spoiler, this is Monday. even though I said at the beginning of the show,
we try to
like,
keep it super secret.
Come on,
don't
Heather,
don't tell them
tell
which
everyone.
Day we're recording.
Right. So fine, it's Monday. But... Nothing bad has happened yet, but like I remember last Monday and like there was an internet issue and like right around this time I was like, oh my God, like why? You know, so it's like just hang on,
jinxing
everybody.
Right and left.
Just hang on.
Yeah,
we've
hang
got
on
you.
Tight.
And we'll be back doing this next week. This was episode 106, by the way. So next week, you know, for anybody who's like math challenged, it'll be 107. And it'll be an excellent, wonderful,
we're here for you,
bomb-ass diggity.
We'll count
week.
For you.
And and Discorders, let's chat. We'll see you there soon. And
lots to chat about.
Lots to chat about, indeed. For everybody else,
always.
Thanks for listening, as always. And let's do this all again next week. Until then, I will remain Sarah.
Oh, and I will be Heather forever.
Have such a good day.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.